Welcome to the Michael Rivera What Really Happened radio show.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here. It is Tuesday, and we're getting into the week here, and I think we can all kind of breathe a little tiny bit sigh of relief. The situation in Georgia appears to have... And hang on a second, I have another sound feed coming in there, and I'm not sure what it's from. Hang on, I'm hearing some of the sounds on the line here. Okay, well, I guess that's coming from the control room side here, because all my other microphone pots are down. Anyway, as I was saying, the situation in Georgia appears to have calmed down a little bit. Russia basically stopped its advance. They did not go into Tbilisi. They're basically saying they do not want to overthrow the government of Georgia, although they would certainly welcome the resignation of the current president. And I think Russia has played this extremely well. They've made their point. They've demonstrated that they are a power in that part of the world. Certainly, Vladimir Putin has come off looking really good with this. There's no question. He is still in charge of Russia, regardless of whatever particular office he may hold. He's calling the shots. He was down there on the front lines talking to people leading from the front, which is exactly the best kind of image to have. He shows the troops he's down there doing the job. It's a leadership function. Anybody who's been in actual military and actual combat knows that that's part of the leadership function, to be down there with the troops being seen doing your job. It's a far cry from the political leadership we have in the United States. Sarkozy from France is looking real good because he waded in there and he got this this little ceasefire deal put together that seems to be holding so far. And, of course, in the middle of all this, we have our president, George W. Bush, over there at the Olympics, just embarrassing himself and the nation. First of all, he stands up there and lectures China on human rights. This is kind of like Jack the Ripper holding a lecture on how to handle knives safely. Then we get this picture of Bush apparently so inebriated it took the Secret Service to help him basically get out of the box where he'd been sitting there flapping his flag around at everybody. And then there were these photos of Bush and the volleyball girls, and don't get me wrong, they're very gorgeous-looking young ladies, but I would not go over there and fondle them and touch them and hug them with my wife standing there watching. Actually, I probably wouldn't do it even if she wasn't watching, but certainly when you're the head of state of a country and your wife is standing there and the world press is standing there and you're over there cuddling up to the cuties there on camera, it's not exactly sending a very good image of the U.S. leadership to the rest of the world while people are dying in Georgia and Putin and Sarkozy are looking and acting like statesmen. And you know, it's interesting. My wife had this comment. She said, I didn't think Bush could do anything more to disgrace the office of the presidency, but I was wrong, and she was wrong, and it's just amazing. It's shameful how he's doing that right now. But the good news is Georgia has calmed down, at least for the moment. There are people who are trying to fan it back up again. They're still trying to sell the bad Russians, we got to get them. And Sky News had this laughable show earlier today, this story earlier today, where they tried to sell the idea that the Georgian troops were actually winning and driving the Russians back. And it was this very, very obvious piece of propaganda. Now, as things stand right now, Russia is in control of those mountain passes and tunnel through the mountain range that forms the northern border of Georgia. Regardless of whatever settlement, agreement, peace process Russia and Georgia come to agreement on, there is no question that Russia now has full access and right of way through Georgia and is now able to project power on the ground into Iran, which is what I believe the people who kicked off this little battle in Georgia were attempting to blockade. And so that has definitely failed. Unfortunately, the fact that Iran is now able to be supported and supplied by Russia without any impedance is probably not going to deter those people who are planning this invasion on Iran. They're still planning it. The huge naval armada, the American armada, is there in the Gulf. And they're not there just to work on their tans. That is definitely for sure. All we're looking for is a starting time and something that the press will say is an initiating event. And I guess we're just going to sit here and wait until it cranks up, because I don't think they're going to just turn those ships around and come on back home without doing anything. Not with these few months left in the Bush regime. Anyway, moving along to some other stories here. First of all, a lot of people have been following the story of these ships, these boats, that are getting ready to sail from Crete to Gaza. Apparently there's been a delay, and they are now looking at Friday for the departure from Crete to Gaza. That's the SS Free Gaza and the SS Liberty. And one of the nice things they're going to be doing partway over to the Gaza coast, they are going to stop and they are going to throw roses on the water, one for each of the crewmen of the USS Liberty who were killed in the attack by Israel in what, in hindsight, appears to have been a false flag attack with the goal of sinking the American ship and blaming Egypt for it to trick the United States into the war on Israel's side against Egypt. And it almost succeeded. We had aircraft in the air with a nuclear weapon on its way to Cairo when the American military command finally figured out what was going on and called it off. We came that close to nuking the pyramids. It's a very scary situation. So it looks like they're going to go on Friday, and we wish them a lot of luck. There's going to be a live webcam from one of the two boats. We will carry it on our website, whatreallyhappened.com. Plug, 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 plug. By the way, speaking of the website, one of the problems that we're dealing with is apparently because our website changes so much, a lot of people have been complaining that they're seeing yesterday's web page, or that they're not really seeing the up-to-date stories until they refresh the page. And what it turns out is that apparently ISPs, in order to save money on bandwidth, they are making local caches of the pages, and they're not updating them very often at all. So for those of you who are going to the website, whatreallyhappened.com, you need to do a forced refresh from your browser. Once you do, you will see we've added a little button over on the right menu that says refresh the page. And anytime you think you're not seeing the most up-to-date stories, you punch that button, and it will force a reload all the way from the server all the way back to your browser. And that hopefully will be the end of that situation. We're going to be trying and looking at some ways where we can make sure that our most current page is getting out there. But apparently we're running into some roadblocks that the ISPs are putting up there, and we need to work around that. Now, speaking of roadblocks and stuff, I know that everybody out there just loves taxes, and you're just also eager to pay those taxes and everything like that. And so probably it came as a bit of a surprise to you. It certainly did to me. To find out an article, or a study rather, by the General Accounting Office, or the Government Accountability Office, indicating that most American corporations don't pay any income tax at all. And apparently it is something like more than two-thirds of American corporations, and an even larger percentage of corporations owned by foreign entities. Foreign-owned corporations operating in the United States are not paying income taxes. Apparently, income tax is something that's just for the little people. Okay? You know, you look at all the taxes you pay on your wages and salaries, and it gets up there. It gets close. I mean, when you get all the little hidden excises and fees and everything, it's about half of what you're making. Government makes more money off of your work than you do, but not if you're a corporation. Isn't that just special? We got to take a break here. If you'd like to join us on the air, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. Talk about taxes, talk about volleyball girls, talk about the USS Liberty, whatever. Happy Tuesday. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio. We'll be right back.
to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here today. We're going to kind of wander off, since I was talking about the web browser and forced reloads and all the rest of that stuff, we're going to get into the computer news this segment. And one of the most interesting stories to come out today is apparently somebody actually did a study about internet fraud and concluded, no real surprise to anybody who's been following this show, that the U.S. government is extraordinarily lax in prosecuting internet fraud cases. We're drowning in spam, and we're fending off all these Nigerian scams to steal our money, and free Viagra this, and unlimited free porn download that, and all the rest of this stuff, and of course, all of the coming with software that tries to get in there and get your passwords and get your account numbers and get your credit cards and all the rest of that. And the U.S. government apparently is unconcerned with it. Now, as we've stated before on the show, hacking costs the United States business community $7 billion, with a B, dollars every single year. Now, this for the private sector is a considerable sum of money. I realize for the government it's just coffee change, but for those of us running small businesses out here, $7 billion amortized across all of us, it is a lot of money. And I'm sure if you're running a computer system for a business, or even if you're running a website like mine, you know, you're spending a lot of money on security. You're spending a lot of time on security. Our new server, the security is so tight, there are days I can't even get into it, which is a little bit inconvenient. And, it's just all of this heartache and work and expense that has nothing to do with the products and services that we're trying to get out there to earn money with. And one of the biggest problems we have in the United States, and this is a general trend, not just with computers, but it's a general trend with regulatory compliance and all this other stuff, is that we're spending less and less time making products and doing services that we can sell and make money with, and more time just doing make work, busy work, stuff that we are forced to do for one reason or the other that has got nothing to do with the business that we're trying to do to make money with. And that can be, endless paperwork that we're required to fill out as business owners, most of which doesn't get read, or if it gets read, it's to justify some politician's nephew having a job in some newly created agency. Certainly anybody who's having to deal with the tax forms, which obviously does not include those corporations who are not paying any income tax, but for ordinary people looking through all those tax forms, it is a nightmare. And I think every one of us who's listening to this show, who is not a tax accountant, probably chose consciously not to be a tax accountant. And I understand why people would want to be involved in the tax system. I mean, it's great. You don't have to worry about your future. People, are required by law to give you their money, or the guys with the guns and the tasers go after them. You don't have to worry about making anything of any use to anybody. You don't have to worry about actually going out and selling any of it. With Americans having run out of money and the rest of the world thinking we're the current age's version of the Nazis, so I can see there's a certain attraction to work in the tax industry if you're willing to overlook certain moral qualms. But for the rest of us out here, we're trying to make things. We're trying to make donuts. We're trying to make bricks. We're trying to make, baskets, or we're trying to build machines and stuff that we can sell. And yet we're having to take time away from that to fill out paperwork and go through tables and look through actuarial this and do all this other stuff. And then on top of that, our computer systems, we're having to buy security this and plug in security that and put key code this and secure that. And you start totaling it all up and you begin to realize that on top of the fact that we're paying almost half of everything we earn in taxes at one level or another, we find out that a significant portion of the work that we're doing in connection with our businesses is absolute fluff and nothing to do with getting our product out the door. And it's no wonder we've become so inefficient at getting products made that other countries are starting to race right past us. Okay? There was a story that came out today where China has taken the lead over the U.S. in manufacturing. And my immediate response to that was, I thought that had happened a long time ago, because you go to any store and everything you see there is made in China, made in China, made in China. I've got a Microsoft mouse here right on the desk. It says assembled in China. Radio equipment, you know, with licensed names of top brand equipment, and it's all manufactured in China. This mixer board that I've got here that I'm doing the show on is made in China. Now, I don't know what America still manufactures anymore, other than trouble and paperwork. I imagine that our claim to being a manufacturing giant is related to our war munitions output, the big expensive war helicopters and war planes and bombs and stuff that we make, which does have a very high price tag, but doesn't really employ that significant amount of the American population. So that may be where they're fudging the figures to claim that we're still a manufacturing giant. But in the kinds of products that ordinary people want to buy, and the kind of products that ordinary people have jobs manufacturing, I think we lost our number one role in the world a long, long, long time ago. And a big part of it is because we're very inefficient. We're bogged down in paperwork. We're bogged down in security. And now we find out that the U.S. government really doesn't care about all this internet fraud stuff. And I'm sure that they're no friend of the internet, because we're pointing out where the government is coming up short in taking care of the people. We're certainly pointing out where the government has been lying to us to get us into war. And it may be that all these companies that are selling us all this computer security are just heavy political donors. And they're going to their Congress critters and they're saying, you know, if you start throwing these hackers in jail and they stop hacking, then we don't get to sell our super whizzo antiviral firewall flammer stand. And if we can't sell our super whiz-bang firewall flammer stand, then we can't donate to your campaign next election season. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of things get sold in the United States, is they get sold by companies. Good example, California, you're going to love this one. I'm old enough to remember when gas nozzles would actually go into the gas tank, and you'd fill the gas tank, and you'd pay your money, and you'd go home. Then all of a sudden, they came around with this vapor recovery system, okay? And the gas stations didn't want to buy it because it was expensive, and it doesn't really do anything, because it just sucks the vapor from your gas tank, and it spits it out someplace else. It's still going up into the atmosphere. It's not making a cleaner air quality. The vapor is just getting, you know, sucked someplace else. So the company that made these things went up to the California legislature. They made a lot of campaign donations to a lot of people who got reelected. And sure enough, they went back in, and these things became mandatory in the gas stations. The same thing when insurance was made mandatory. It's all campaign donations to generate sales. And a lot of useless stuff gets forced on us because of this particular mechanism. And it's not just useless equipment, it's stuff that really, there are better ways to solve the problems. But it's all about making money, and as long as you're tithing a chunk of it to your elected Congress critter, they're going to vote to make your piece of nonsense mandatory. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
He's scared, he's lonely, and he knows he screws up everything in life. But I guess that's the way it goes when you're the Antichrist. He's aroused by all things evil. That's why he wants more war. When he gets to the other side, maybe he'll wonder what it's all been for. He's George W. Bush.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We've got a caller on the line, John from Illinois. John, aloha. Welcome to the show.
Aloha, Mike. I got a question for you. Towards the end of the show last night, you said that some people have been reporting what seems to be the sound of diesel engines, and you made reference that this is possibly they're digging deep tunnels for a nuclear fallout. Where did you get this information from?
Well, I got it, first of all, from the fact that when I was living in Los Angeles and they were digging the tunnels for the metro rail system, that was exactly the sound. And then I came across a photograph of one of these tunneling machines. It looks just like the one they did the channel tunnel with, but it's got United States Air Force insignia on it, and so the rest was just putting two and two together, you know, when somebody actually got a recording of this hum on tape and sent it to me, and I said, yeah, that's the sound that these digging machines make. So that's how we put that together.
Okay, because I live in the Chicago metro area, and they've been digging what they call the Deep Tunnel Project, mostly in Cook County. All of it in Cook County, as a matter of fact. I'm in DuPage County. But I, in DuPage County, I have felt, I'm not going to say here because it's not really a sound, but I and my neighbors have felt this, like, humming noise that is exactly like a diesel engine idling off in the distance. But you can't really hear it. You can feel it, though.
That's exactly the sound. That's exactly the sound. Now, depending upon your local geology, because it is being conducted through the rock and not through the air, that may well be coming from that tunneling project that you're aware of. Or it could be something a little bit more, shall we say, clandestine. But there is no question that the U.S. government has been building a lot of underground facilities lately. They built a replacement for Cheyenne Mountain. We know that there's one right here in Hawaii in the middle of the H3. Before we left Los Angeles, my wife and I observed them building a new underground command post underneath the northeast corner of Griffith Park, on the backside of the hill where the Hollywood sign is. And we saw all of that going in and big military helicopters coming in and that whole thing. And the reason I brought it up, you know, along with the Vice President's bomb shelter, is there are people in our government who are preparing to actually fight and survive a nuclear war. You and I and the other taxpayers who paid for all this will probably not get an invite into those bomb shelters, but I'm sure they'll be thinking very kindly of us as the bombs fall and we glow and they sit down there with their with whatever they're going to take down into the holes with them. You know, I keep thinking about that last scene at the movie Dr. Strangelove, where they're saying, well, we must have 10 women for every man down there and abandon the normal concept of monogamy in order to repopulate the planet. And everybody's saying, oh, yeah, let's do that. And they're off and running. So I imagine there's probably something like that going on.
Okay, well, the actual deep tunnel, I checked it on the maps last night after you said that, and it's quite a ways away, the main tunnels, and I don't think it's coming from that.
Okay, but, how far away is it in miles?
I would say at least 10 to 15 miles away. Yeah, quite a ways.
Again, depending upon your underground geometry, I think you might get the vibration that far away. Again, it depends on your underground geology.
Yeah, and I'm not the only one that's heard it around here. I say hear loosely. You feel it. You can't really hear a noise. You feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming up through the ground, it's coming through the walls of your building, and that is exactly what it sounds like. You're hearing a tunneling machine. Maybe it's coming from that big tunnel, maybe it's coming from something else, but that's exactly the sound that it makes.
Okay, great. Thanks for clearing that up, Mike. Good work.
You got it, John. Thanks a lot. Aloha, and hope you'll call back into the show at some point in the future.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Getting back to the computer stuff again, one other story that came through, probably all of you by now have heard about the iPhone. It's a very wonderful little gizmo. We like our little smartphones and all of our toys. And apparently, though, Steve Jobs has confirmed that at least in the newer iPhone, there is a kill switch where any software that is downloaded onto that phone through the App Store, or presumably by people who jailbreak their phones and add on things themselves, can be remotely removed by Apple or AT&T or whomsoever shall decide that that should not be on your phone. Now, I understand the idea that they want to be able to recall a bogus, evil piece of software that gets sent out through the App Store because of liability issues. But I have to tell you, I am very concerned about the idea of somebody coming into my computer equipment, whether it's a phone or my desktop, and deciding what software I can and cannot have, and having the ability and authority to remove it without my permission. And I think it's a very, very bad trend. We already know that the TSA bozos at the airports are starting to confiscate iPods, laptops, digital media, not because they think you're hiding Osama bin Laden in your Canon point-and-shoot camera, but because since there aren't really that many terrorists for them to hunt, they've been retasked into looking for pirated music and pirated movies and all the rest of that. And mind you, I don't support piracy, but I think using it as a justification for this kind of intrusive search into our digital memory, and I'll tell you where this is going to go. We have already seen memory cards that have Wi-Fi built right onto them. Now, they're being sold as a convenience where you can put one of these memory chips in your digital device and automatically give it a Wi-Fi capability. But the real danger here is that we're going to see the government mandate wireless technology for all digital memory everywhere. And as you wander around and you go past little sensing stations, the government will be constantly reading what's on your camera, deciding what you're allowed to have and what you're not allowed to have, and forcibly erasing anything that they don't think you should have. And, I know that the business model for Apple's iPhone right now is that you don't keep stuff on the phone itself. When you're looking at your email, when you're looking at various other things that, you want to have stored on your phone, it's actually on AT&T's servers where other people can get at it. And the primary reason that I jailbroke my iPhone 1, the original one, is so I could throw an Apache web server on there. So now I can put web pages on the iPhone that I can look at that have private information for me only that other people can't see. Certainly not at AT&T, which we already know turns over private information to the government on request. So, I love the new technology and everything, but at the same time, I'm seeing this very alarming tendency for corporations and the government to presume a right and authority to monitor what is on your digital equipment and to remove things they find that you should not have. And yes, they're justifying it by saying, bad piece of software gets out there, we're going to remove it for you. But it's a very short leap from there to, we think maybe that's a piece of software you shouldn't have, or the license has expired on that software, or you violated the licensing conditions and therefore we're going to deactivate whatever it was that you had on the phone. And we know how fraught with error these licensing systems can be. I can't even begin to tell you the headaches I've had with a particular piece of software that was de-licensing itself on a regular basis because of a software incompatibility in one of the hard drives. And, it's very annoying, especially when you're up against the deadline, to have these things kind of turn off. So I find this a very alarming trend, and when you couple it with this story that says the United States government is very lax in prosecuting internet fraud, then you begin to understand that the development of this technology to go in and check your memory and remove things on demand really isn't about fighting criminals or fighting malicious software. It's just another way to try and maintain control over the technology that you bought and paid for. Now, call me old-fashioned, but I bought and paid for this computer. It's mine to do with as I see fit. Same with the iPhone. I don't need AT&T looking over my shoulder to make sure I'm being a good little boy. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of the show today, and I'm checking the mailbox. Somebody just sent me this wonderful photo from the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Beijing, China, where apparently one of the large video projectors is showing the blue screen of death. Apparently was running a Windows application and crashed and locked up and shot the BSOD all over the back screen there. And obviously didn't mar the enthusiasm of the opening ceremonies. But it is a reminder that Microsoft and Windows are a little bit flaky, and part of the reason is because they're spending all their time on security, and they don't have time to work on the actual applications. You know, there's only so many programmers in that little building up there in Redmond, Washington, or wherever they're moving it to now. And if they're all tied up trying to keep the hackers and the music pirates and the other people out of your system, then they're not available to work on making Word work better, or Excel work better, or Internet Explorer work better. Programmers are a finite resource, and all this security headache, and that's one of the things that crippled Vista. Vista would have been just fine, except that all the security stuff they had to add to it, digital rights management and all the rest of that stuff, just crippled it. Absolutely crippled it. So thanks a lot, hackers. You just really made the life, the world so much better for the rest of us. Okay, another story. This actually came out last week, and it kind of got lost in the Georgian-Russian upset. And basically, in a recent immigration court case involving a Turkish Islamic leader, Fethullah Gulen, U.S. prosecutors exposed an illegal covert CIA operation involving the intentional Islamization of Central Asia. Now, apparently, this has been going on since the fall of the Soviet Union as part of a strategy to eventually control all of the energy resources of the region. So let me back up here and give this to you again. Even as the American media is saying, ooh, bad Muslims, they sent the anthrax letters and they knocked over the World Trade Towers, the CIA has been actively supporting the growth of the Muslim religion in Central Asia. They apparently have been working not only with Islamic individuals as fronts, but working with the madrasas, the schools. And so we have here a classic case of one branch of the government creating the enemy that another part of the government is going to say, you should all hate and go kill for us. And I understand why they're doing it. If most of the people living in the Middle East were still Jewish or Christian, it makes it a lot harder to whip up a clash of civilizations registered trademark, White House 2007. But if you're spending millions of dollars to help Muslim clerics convert people around them, if you're literally funding the building of mosques and madrasas, so that they can go out there and proselytize and convert people to Islam, then all of a sudden you've got this Islamic population. Ooh, bad Muslims. They send anthrax through the letters. They knock over our buildings. They're bad people, and we need to go steal their oil from them in His infinite mercy. Or some such nonsense like that. But it's just one more indicator of the duplicity that our own government engages in to manipulate us into doing what the government wants. The government literally creates the enemies we're supposed to hate. They create the crisis we're supposed to pay to solve. It's like Al Gore and his global warming, which turned out to be a non-issue anyway, and they're still selling it. They've got hundreds of millions of dollars to pay for TV ads and documentaries and all the rest of this stuff to sell that global warming is a bad thing caused by humans. And therefore, humans have to fork over the tax money and control of their lives for the good of the planet. Philosophers call this the Hegelian dialectic, which is you create a problem. And then you run to the people and say, look, look, there's a problem. Ooh, bad problem. But I have the solution to fix it. If you will give me your money and your support, I'll make it go away. It's like the old joke, you know, go down to the middle of Honolulu. Stand there in the middle of the intersection with my arms outstretched and bells in both hands, shaking them. Somebody comes up and says, what are you doing? I says, well, I'm keeping away the wild elephants. And I say, don't be ridiculous. There aren't any wild elephants anywhere within thousands of miles of Hawaii. And I say, see, it works. That'll be $5. Our government does that. Our government manufactures and creates problems and crises and emergencies and a war on this and a war on that and a war on whatever to get your money, to get your permission and your consent, to trick you out of the lives of your children, to do what the government wants. And if there is one thing that the internet really gives to the world, it is to call attention to this little bit of snake oil, because it's one of the oldest, oldest tricks that rulers use against their people. Hitler created a crisis. The Polish people are about to invade us. Look, they knocked down the two radio towers in Gliwice, Germany. We got to go attack them. That's a good example. Look, look, the Muslims knocked over the two towers in New York. We got to go attack and kill them. It was a more recent incarnation. For Lyndon Johnson, it was the torpedoes fired at the USS Maddox in the Gulf of Tonkin. The torpedoes didn't actually exist, but good thing to whip up the American war fever. Send them off to Vietnam. 60,000 Americans dead. Spanish-American War was started when the USS Maine was supposedly struck by a Spanish mine in Havana Harbor. That, too, was a lie. The USS Maine suffered from a design flaw that put a coal stove on the opposite side of a wall from an ammunition bunker. And it simply heated that wall until it reached the flash point and set off some powder in the room, and the ship blew up. Oh, good opportunity. We can use this to start a war with Spain. Remember the Maine. I think that's what the FBI did with Bruce Ivins. They were desperate to find a way to close the anthrax investigation without actually investigating the real suspect. Bruce Ivins died or was killed or committed suicide, and they said, oh, well, we'll blame him. Wonderful target of opportunity. He's the guy. Close the investigation. And we see it over and over and over and over again. Government lies to you to get you to do what they want. Mind control is not some big science fiction ray gun. It's not drugs in the water. It's not rays coming out of the TV and that tinfoil hat stuff. All mind control is controlling the brain by controlling what it knows. And so all government does to control you, to control your mind, is they arrange for their servile media to give you that information, and only that information, that would lead you to conclude of your own free will that conclusion the government has designed the information to produce. As George Bush said, we catapult the propaganda forward. The purpose of the propaganda is to convince you there is no other reasonable course of action than what the government wants you to do. Gliwice is the perfect example. So is 9/11. The enemy has attacked us. That's all you need to know. We must go and strike them back. And then years and years later, in the case of Gliwice, you find out it wasn't the enemy that did it. It was Hitler's own people. That's how government works. That's how all government works. It's not a unique experience in history. It's how they have been ruling since the time of the pharaohs. Anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow. We've got a local representative from the Barack Obama campaign will be our on-air guest. And we'll be talking about what he's doing here in Hawaii on his vacation. And again, Saturday, our guest is going to be Bob Peters, who is running for the Board of Education. And he is opposed to No Child Left Behind. And he is also one of Barack Obama's former teachers. And he'll have some insights for us as well. So until tomorrow, stay well. Stay safe, hug your loved ones, and aloha, America.